Hello and welcome back to our Colts Corner podcast. After a beautiful summer, we are back for season number three here on the Colts Corner podcast. On the schedule today, we will give you guys a full sports preview. Bunch of stuff coming up. Some teams have already started and we're ready to jump into that. The NFL season opens up tonight with a nice matchup with the Eagles and the Falcons. The Le'Veon Bell situation we'll hit up on. Which is very interesting, and a whole lot more. We're fired up for season three, and we are ready to go. After a long summer, we are happy to say that we are back for season three of the Colts Corner podcast. I'm Douglas Latuca alongside Benjamin Dixon and Brian Flatow, Mike Arafa here as well. Matty Gold, we miss you, but we're ready to go here. It's going to be a little different without Gold here.
Yeah, definitely some big shoes to fill. Gold, one of the founding fathers of the Colts Corner podcast, will be on the recruiting trail this year looking for some people to follow in our footsteps.
Season three, baby.
Yeah, I'm excited. Let's go. Another season of the Colts Corner podcast.
We are ready to go, and so are some of the Hills West sport teams. They've already started. Hills West Soccer 2-0-1. They tied their game yesterday, but they're off to a great start.
Yeah, shutout wins at East Hampton and against Greenport. Most recent game was yesterday. It was a 2-2 tie at Kings Park. We were trying to get Marcus Frazier, the team's leading scorer with three goals, on for an interview. Couldn't happen today. We'll get it eventually.
Yeah, I watched him last year. Just electric speed.
What a talent.
And can really put the ball in the net.
Really, really an overall extremely talented team. I mean, you look at the depth, honestly. Yesterday, one of the goal scorers, Christian Mulet, he's not even a soccer player. He's a top lacrosse player in the school.
He should be doing interviews with us.
Right.
Instead, he's scoring goals on the field. And if you think about what they lost after last year with Leo leaving and Nick on defense. So it's a lot of big shoes to fill, but it looks like the younger talent stepped up. They had a couple freshmen on there last year. They've actually put a few more on the team this year. So people stepping up and doing their job. Through their first three games, they've outscored their opponents 10-2. So clearly Benny Knock, the goaltender, doing a great job as well.
Right, and those two goals coming in the tie. So in their two wins, they're winning 8-0, which is that's really spectacular. With just what they're doing overall, offense, defense, all together, a great performance so far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, some of the players were telling me they'd be disappointed if they gave up more than a goal a game, you know? So two goals, obviously Benny's been great. Nothing to complain about there. It's a tie early in the season, but they're looking to dominate this year and make another run.
Well, last year they had such an amazing season, and coming off of that, they've got really great energy heading into this year, and I think it's going to help push them to do some bigger things than last year.
So they're off to a 2-0-1 start on their quest for another state finals appearance. Big shout-out to girls soccer, doing a great job in their first game. 10-1 win at Amityville. Absolute pounding. Jordan Levy had three goals in that game. And she just continues to dominate at the girl level.
Getting that kind of production from a sophomore, that should be illegal. That's honestly, that's
I mean,
so,
she I mean, had an outstanding
incredible.
Season last year,
right.
And to follow it up with a three-goal performance in game one, I mean, there's just special things that are going to happen.
10-1 is just utter domination, too. I mean, it's crazy.
It doesn't
and
get better than
that. Amityville, I don't know about their girls' team, but I know their boys' team is very good for soccer. So that could be no pushover, and the girls team could be super legit this year.
Yes, my dad, Marcello Latuca, shout out. He was at the game, actually tanning on the sideline on the 10-1 win, took his shirt off. I can't explain what this guy does, but he's crazy. So he's at the game, and he said that the Amityville girls team was not very good.
Okay.
So the second team got some minutes there and scored some goals.
That's
so
awesome.
You like to see the depth of this girls' team, and the starters did a great job, and we'll see how that goes. They're 1-0 to start off the year. This Saturday coming up, Hills West football is back after a pretty solid season last year. Looks like at our tender here at High School West, they've had some pretty good seasons going deep into the playoffs, but their first game is Saturday here at home against West Babylon, so that should be good.
Yeah, pretty excited to see that one. If I'm not mistaken, what is it, five straight Suffolk County Championship appearances?
You're right.
And obviously a lot of talent last year, returning most of it this year with Gerald coming back at QB, Justin Brown, Davon Wright. So I'm looking for big things this year from the football team. Like always, expectations are high at Hills West for football, and they should be high, if not higher, again this year.
Right. So obviously they're looking to make that county championship game, but I think if you ask anyone in that football team, they share one common goal to make to win the Long Island Championship, which is something that, although they've made in the past and although they've been in the Suffolk County Championship game a lot in the past, they haven't done that in our tenure year. They haven't won the LIC. And I think that is a big goal with the senior group and the team's definitely primary goal this season.
And that'll add to their resume, too. I mean, going into college, these guys, if they can do that, add that, like guys like Gerald Filardi, that'll definitely help some of them out. Making it that far, if they can produce well in those types of situations, it'll definitely help them out getting into college.
So throughout the years, we've actually spoken about a few players here that have went up the ranks, like, of course, Gerald, Justin Brown, Davon Wright, all looking to have a huge year here. The linebackers as well, Mike Carubia and Jake Seta, go under the radar, but they've had a couple really solid seasons and are looking to become leaders. Keith Slaughter on the defense as well. A lot of solid players here.
You can't forget Joey Venezia either.
Of course.
He's been
a
huge piece for the last few years, even though he's only a junior right now.
Yeah, pretty good feature on News 12. They were interviewing Gerald Filardi and Keith Slaughter, so check that one out if you haven't. They have some pretty high expectations for this year, so that was a good piece.
Yeah, 1 o'clock here on the West Turf against West Babylon on Saturday, starting off the season. Just to go back to one of our last podcasts, I believe it was actually the last one when we talked about lacrosse. I just wanted to give you guys the fact. It was 2004 was the last time the lacrosse team made the playoffs.
Wrong. The last time they won a playoff game.
Yes, the last time they won the playoff game. I'm sorry. That I just had to throw that in there because I said I would get you guys that information, but then we went on
got
summer
a long
break.
Memory on this kid.
Yeah, I had to throw that in there for you guys. So let's go over to the professional level. This is a night that I've been waiting for since the Super Bowl. I mean, I'm in five fantasy leagues. I'm fired up, getting ready to go. And tonight it all begins. Falcons are at the Eagles, 8:20 on NBC. So check that one out. Should be good.
Yeah, the adrenaline flowing in every football fan in America. Really getting ready for tonight. I'm amped up. I know you guys are. And yeah, I mean, I'm expecting a pretty good game. Obviously, Eagles without Carson Wentz, QB, Nick Foles. Didn't really have a great preseason. Two interceptions at Cleveland week 3 in the preseason.
Oof,
didn't look good. That was a horrible game, Brian. We were watching that one together. 5-0 final. So, I mean, I'm expecting a good game tonight. I got the Falcons on the road just because the uncertainty with Nick Foles at QB.
Understood.
And that offense, but we'll see.
Yeah, so I'm extremely excited. I mean, sports are back. It's about time. There's only so much baseball
Excuse
I could watch,
me.
Especially with my New York Mets.
The Mets, yeah.
They were
all
playing
right, understood.
This summer, and there's only so much, so many things on TV that don't interest me. So now sports are back. All the football talk ends, and the football season begins. It's the best day of the year. We have the Falcons and the Eagles, and if you're looking for a game pick, I agree. I think the Falcons are going to take this one, and not because I don't think the Eagles are going to have a great year, but I think that they're going to struggle a bit out of the gate. You look at the way Nick Foles played in the preseason, and I don't think you're going to see the same Nick Foles that you saw in the Super Bowl. That was like an out-of-world experience. That's not Nick Foles. So and I think having Nick Foles at quarterback and having Alshon Jeffrey out for me the first few weeks, I think they might struggle a bit out of the gate.
Yeah, one thing to say. Nick Foles, last season coming into the playoff run, did not look too sharp, especially week 17. He seems to amp it up another level when the games actually start to mean something, and he is playing for a possible starting job somewhere else. He is the backup here, getting a couple starts with Carson Wentz still injured with that knee. But he's kind of auditioning still, even though he's a Super Bowl MVP. It's tough to audition anyone.
It's a very weird situation.
It's very interesting.
They know he obviously could have left, or they could have traded
totally.
Him. Not left. They could have traded him, and teams would have wanted him as a starting QB. Tonight, though, from Foles, I mean, that Super Bowl performance would be the peak of almost anyone's career. So don't expect an encore tonight. Could be a good game. He could have a good game, but we'll see what happens. Just want to say one quick thing about Matt Ryan. Remember in May, signed that QB deal, richest QB deal in NFL history. It seems like we get a new alert of those every week. Now it's Aaron Rodgers. And it was the first ever $100 million guarantee in QB history.
Wow.
So we'll see how he does playing on that new deal. High expectations for him coming into the year.
So I did predict the Falcons to win tonight, but I don't think that that's just because I think that the Eagles are going to struggle out of the gate. I think those Falcons are a legit team. We'll obviously find out tonight what all the hype is about, but I love what they did this offseason, especially through the draft with Calvin Ridley. I think that's a great addition to the team.
Agreed.
And I think the Falcons' offense especially, and the defense is still pretty solid, but I think the Falcons' offense is going to propel them to a lot of wins this season, especially tonight, too.
A quick note here. The game tonight opened up at +4 for Atlanta, and now it's moved to -1. So everyone seems to like Atlanta tonight. The Eagles are at home, coming off a Super Bowl. I do believe in that whole Super Bowl
hangover
thing.
Well, last year, Kansas City
came
to New
England.
Yes,
correct. I believe in it because you're at the peak. You're at the top of the league. You really can't go any much higher. So you're just coming in. People leave looking for more money. Your team is just not the same. There's just a feeling about a playoff run where you just get it. If you've ever been part of a sports team or watched one of your teams go through a playoff run, you just see the difference. It's just the regular season versus the playoffs in any sport is just completely different. People will not watch the MLB regular season. They'll go and they'll watch the postseason. Same with the NHL. So it's just a different thing week one. I expect it to be somewhat close, but I think Atlanta's going to win. I'd say Atlanta probably wins by a field goal here. I just think that it's going to be a close game. They're in Philly. The fans are riled up. So you never know. It's so early. It's just you don't know what the identity of all the teams are.
Exactly. We're basing things off of last season.
Exactly.
You know, things that we've seen before from teams. And like you said, that anything could happen when you go out there.
Exactly. So we're going to move over to a interesting situation in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, with one of the killer bees still holding out after being offered the franchise tag, has not signed it. Mr. Le'Veon Bell says his agent actually says that he won't play in week one and he could hold out until November. So for fantasy owners like me who have drafted him in two of their leagues, it's not very good. It doesn't sound very good. And as a fan of the Pittsburgh Steelers, it doesn't sound that good either. So
Doug's not having the best week right now, is what he's saying. First of all, for fantasy owners like me who picked up James Conner
outstanding
a few
move.
Days ago, it's really great because that's a legit running back right there.
Yeah, my claim didn't.
And I don't think it's going to hurt the Steelers too bad because of how good he is. Although you can't replace a guy like Le'Veon Bell.
Exactly. If you watch the preseason,
48 touches every year and everything. But James Conner will do a very good job, I believe.
What a story, James Conner too. Leukemia, cancer. He was ACC Player of the year before. Now he's worked his way back, starting for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Doug, you seem pretty pissed with that Le'Veon Bell situation, but so are the Steelers' offensive line.
I know.
I just want to read out a couple quotes. Ramon Foster, quote, "What do? Here's a guy who just doesn't give a damn. I guess so. We'll treat it as such. I just hate it came to this. He's making 7 times what I make and twice as much as Al Villanueva is making, and we're the guys who do it for him." And another guy who was destroying Bell was Marquise Pouncey. He also added, "A star is born every year in the NFL. Did anyone know Kareem Hunt would be an All-Pro before last season? If James Conner didn't have cancer, he'd have been a first-round pick. Just watch him."
Exactly, and I've watched him through the preseason. He looks a lot slimmer, faster, somewhat Le'Veon Bell-ish with the jump cuts. And that's what you see from these young running backs as they come up. A lot of jump cuts trying to emulate Le'Veon Bell's style. So with Le'Veon out, obviously probably the top running back in the league, looking for probably $20 million a year, which he's not getting with the franchise tag. Well,
I think it's 14 and a half.
It's around 15, and the Steelers aren't rescinding that franchise tag either. The offer's still on the table.
Right.
And Todd Gurley,
he can sign anytime he wants for that $14.5 million this year, but I know the issue is he wants to play for a long-term deal.
Correct.
And even if whether it's with the Steelers or not, he wants a long-term deal, and he believes that if he plays this season and gets hurt, he might lose that opportunity at a record-setting deal that we're seeing so many guys get: Khalil Mack, Aaron Donald, even at the running back position, Todd Gurley. And he feels disrespected, quite frankly. And that's why it's understandable to me that he's holding out this long. But I think at some point he has to come back and play for his teammates, for his fans, and get paid $14.5 million to do what he loves.
And Todd Gurley's getting $15 million a year. Based on his contract, there might be some bonuses or whatever. But after I looked, 4 years, $60 million. So $15 million a year, you think Le'Veon would probably put himself a little bit higher than that just from his expectations and his play throughout the years. So him getting 14 and a half is not too far off. He's looking for a 6-year max deal where he's going to get a lot of money, near probably $18 million a year, something like that. He doesn't want to come back and play on a franchise tag where we're going to run the ball. Sorry, the Steelers are going to run the ball 50 times with him and possibly have him injured.
Right.
It's football. You never know.
400 touches every season, you can understand why he doesn't want to carry that workload the year before he's going into a long-term deal.
I mean, it's not like he's getting $700,000 to play and carry the ball 400 times. He's getting paid $14.5 million, and the offensive linemen are getting frustrated. That's a tight-knit group right there. That's five guys that are working hard to create holes, and it's one of the top offensive lines in the league. So when you see this stuff, you usually don't see stuff like this over contract disputes with players and management where the players actually side with the team. So it was just interesting there.
And also with the whole money issue, you see with the quarterback position, every new deal for a star quarterback is the new highest paid deal in the NFL. So Le'Veon's really, whatever Todd Gurley's deal is, it's basically a baseline for his to get 10 to 15 million higher than that, or however much higher he wants, pretty much. So, you know, and he'll set the precedent.
And also, one more thing I'd like to say about the holdout is, as a Jet fan, I've experienced holdouts many times with Darrelle Revis, and you see it all the time. It almost happened this year with Julio Jones. It happened with Aaron Donald. It was happening with Khalil Mack, and that's why he got traded. But you don't see them last into the regular season often. It's usually settled by the preseason. I can't recall a time where a top player didn't enter the regular season. It didn't play week one because of a contract dispute, and that's a little startling to me from the Steelers' point of view. They're pretty stubborn, and Le'Veon Bell comes off very stubborn as well.
Yeah, so Steelers and Le'Veon Bell are not in a good spot right here, but James Conner looking to increase his role definitely and emerge as a star here in the league. So now we're going to go and continue one of our segments. We're gonna ad-lib it just a bit. It's going to be the electric moment of the week. We're getting it? Is it there? It's week one. It's episode one. We're working on it. And there she is.
Got it. Took some time.
There she is. So the electric moment of the week, Brian, take it away.
My electric moment of the week is not an actual moment that happened in sports, but it's an announcement made by the Seattle Seahawks. One-handed rookie Shaquem Griffin will be starting for the Seattle Seahawks in their opening game on Sunday, and I just think that's just it doesn't get more electric than that when it comes to a better moment.
What a story!
Yeah, great story. Guy's a beast. Loved watching him in college last year. Excited to see what he does in the NFL. My moment of the week: we're gonna go out to College Park, Maryland. You know, the football program obviously not the best look right now. Reports of the toxic culture, but they went out there. They played for their teammate, Jordan McNair, who passed away following a workout this past May. And they went out there and they beat ranked Texas again. And the coolest thing I saw in that game was Jay Sean Jones, true freshman, 3-star receiver. Not really a big name. No one really knew who he was. First 3 touches, rushing touchdown, receiving touchdown, and a passing TD. Ridiculous.
Wow.
First 3 touches in your college career.
It's very impressive.
You might not ever see that again. Or I don't know if it's even happened before. It probably hasn't happened before.
I don't think I'll see that again. That sounds like something that's very, very arbitrary.
Yes. So I'm going to do a player here. And Luke Voit, the first baseman for the New York Yankees, got traded in around the trade deadline for Chasen Shreve from the St. Louis Cardinals. He came over, had a tough first stint with the team, was then sent down, brought back up after the problems over at first with Greg Bird, as we're not even going to get into it because it's been pretty brutal for him, and you have to feel. But Luke Voit has played in 20 games, 63 at-bats. He scored 12 runs. He has 20 hits and 7 home runs, 15 RBIs. This guy is raking.
That's outstanding.
He has been absolutely outstanding this season, coming up, filling a spot that needed to be filled for the New York Yankees after they had really just a hole over at first. So he's brought a lot of energy to the club. He's doing some extraordinary things, especially from a guy that's been in the minors for so many years. So it's impressive to see, and you hope this continues.
Yeah, I love seeing that production at the first base spot. And every time he hits a home run, he puts his fist up, points at the dugout, shows that emotion. You love it. Aaron Judge-esque emotion running the bases.
Well, yes. That trade started off seeming like it would be a great deal for the Cardinals instead of the Yankees, but it's turned out to be phenomenal for the Yankees. Luke Voit's been absolutely outstanding for them, and I think it's great.
Yeah, and last night I was actually watching the Cardinals game, and warming up in the bullpen was Chasen Shreve with a full beard.
Wow.
I have never seen that man with facial hair.
He's enjoying it.
Of course, in New York, no facial hair. It's got to be trimmed very nicely. So, that was just a little interesting to see that from him.
All right, so mine this week, sticking with baseball, yesterday, Shohei Ohtani of the Los Angeles Angels was told that he was going to need Tommy John surgery on his elbow. He's the guy who's the switch pit who can pitch and hit.
Correct.
In case you didn't know. And he was told that he's going to need Tommy John surgery, which means that you're probably going to be out for at least a year. And for a pitcher, that's devastating. He comes out last night, goes 4-for-4, hitting 2 home runs and driving in 3 RBIs. It was an absolutely outstanding night for Ohtani. And I think, I mean, you still don't know if he's going to get Tommy John, but that's still incredible to see that he can do that, knowing that that's the way his elbow is right now.
What they said his plan was, just to clear up, by the way, is I got an alert today. It said he was going to get Tommy John surgery when the season ends this year, probably, and then return as a hitter toward the middle of next season.
Oh, okay. I didn't see that.
Because it's easier to return as a hitter after Tommy John surgery than it would be as a pitcher.
Yeah, you hate to see that type of talent go down with that type of injury that early on in his career, but just want to say regarding that situation, not directly, but Miguel Andujar, AL Rookie of the Year. Book it.
Jacob DeGrom and El Cy Young.
I agree. We're gonna
get to the awards.
All right.
We have a full year of the Colts Corner.
We do.
We'll get to it.
So we're gonna do a full segment on that. But really, if you think about it, just another note: pitchers coming over from Japan recently with Tanaka,
great.
Ohtani. Just think about the injuries to the elbows. Is it the overuse? Is it the difference in the ball?
The Texas Rangers player. What was
Yu Darvish.
Yu Darvish. Yeah. Think about these pitchers coming over. There's got to be something that's happening. Scientists have linked stuff to overuse. There's the weight in the balls difference, the size. You don't really know what it is, but something's happening. So they've got to figure that out.
Or it could also be that maybe where they're coming from, they're not preparing them to pitch like that, and they're not like training them as well as they are here, so it's a little bit of a change for them.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's definitely an interesting topic, but that'll do it for us for our first episode of Season 3. Thank you for joining us. And as always, we'd like to thank the following people: Mr. Doxy, Mr. Ricciuti, Dr. Catapano and the administration, the Board of Education, our audience listens every Thursday, and finally, a very special thank you to the Class of 2016 for their generous donation towards our podcast setup. I'm Ben Dixon, alongside our always reliable producer, Mike Arafa, Brian Flatow, and Douglas Zuka. We will see you next week.